Over in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, there's a passage of Scripture with which you're familiar, I'm sure. And Peter says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. And an abundant entrance shall be given to you into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's my subject today: our calling and election. Now, what is the scriptural doctrine of election? What is election? Well, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, for many, many years, back in 1850 to 1890. This is what he said about election. He said, "The whole of the work, the entire work, whereby a lost, ruined sinner is brought from death to life, is the work of our Lord, our sovereign Lord. The whole of the work whereby a fallen son of Adam is lifted from the dunghill." He lifts the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. You remember Isaiah saying that? He lifts the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among the princes, the rulers. Well, that whole work whereby a fallen son of Adam is lifted from the dunghill of sin and depravity, washed, cleansed, made holy, and seated at the right hand of God, is the work of our sovereign Lord, and of Him only. Spurgeon continued, he said, "Election simply declares that salvation is of the Lord, from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end, from first to last. Salvation is of the Lord." I like to read these old-timers. Dr. J.R. Graves, who pastored down in Texas back over 100 years ago, I suppose. He was out in his garden working among his roses, and his neighbor came out and walked up to him, and she said, "Pastor Graves, I believe that you preach election, don't you?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. I believe election." She said, "What is election?" The old man looked at her and he said, "Well, my dear," he said, "are you saved? Are you redeemed, a child of God, a believer?" "Oh, yes, indeed," she says, "I'm saved." He said, "Well, my dear, who saved you? Who saved you? Did God save you or did you save yourself?" "Oh," she said, "God saved me. God saved me." He said, "Well, let me ask you this. When God saved you, did He do it on purpose? Or was it an accident?" "Oh," she said, "God saved me on purpose. It was no accident. He meant to save me." He said, "That's election. Every person God saves, He saves on purpose. Every person whom God calls, He calls on purpose. And every person whom God redeems, He redeemed them according to His own purpose in Christ Jesus, given us in Christ before the world began." I want you to open your Bibles to another very familiar passage of Scripture. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you some help today now on the doctrine of election. What is election? Now open your Bible to this familiar Scripture, Romans 8, verse 28. You've quoted this. You've heard it quoted many times, almost at every funeral. Almost. Someone will quote at least the first half of this Scripture, but I'm going to read it all. I want you to open your Bible to Romans 8, because we're going to stay there a little while. Romans 8, 28, Paul wrote, "And we know," this is what we know, "that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose, according to the next verse, are those whom He foreknew. Those who are called of God according to His purpose and who love God are those, number one, whom He foreknew. He knew them before the foundation of the world. That's what He says in 1 Peter. He said, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And He says in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose and those for whom all things work together for their good are those whom God foreknew. He knew them before they knew Him. He loved them before they loved Him. He called them before they called on Him. He said this to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, before you came from your mother's womb, I sanctified you and set you apart, and I made you mine. Now, that's election. Those whom God has elected, God foreknew. Now, look at the next line. And whom He foreknew, those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose will one day be like Christ. God has predestinated the end of all those people. They're going to be like Christ. They're going to be sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Over in 1 John 3, John said this, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He shall appear, when Christ comes again, we're going to see Him as He is and be what? And be like Him. Those whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be like Christ. That's what predestination is. I hear people say they don't like the doctrine of predestination, but would you listen to me a moment? That word's not in the Bible but four times. That's all. The word predestination is not in the Bible but four times. It's in the book of Romans here twice, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And all four times it says the same thing. We're predestinated to the adoption of children. We're predestinated to be like Christ. We're predestinated to be sons. That is the object of God in redeeming His people, to make them like Jesus Christ. And that's what David rejoiced in. David said in Psalm chapter 17, verse 15, I'll be satisfied when I wait with His likeness. What is election? Well, everything's working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, and those people, those whom He foreknew before the foundation of the world. You see, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. God never learns anything. God never makes any decision today that He didn't purpose from all eternity. God says, I'm the Lord, I don't change. I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. They're those whom He knew and those whom He predestinated to be like His Son. Do you want to be like Christ? Well, God will have to make you like Christ. You can't do it. And listen to this. And those whom He predestinated to be like Christ, them He also called. What is election? It's God knowing us from eternity, God predestinating us to be like Christ, and God calling us. Now, Let me quote the old theologians again, back hundreds of years ago. These men taught that the Scripture teaches a general and effectual call, a general call given to everybody, and an effectual call given to His sheep. And our Lord confirmed that. He said in Matthew 22:14, many are called, few are chosen. Those who are chosen are effectually called. Now, what is the general call? Well, everybody hears it. There's a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, here's the general call. There's first the call of creation. God is known by the thing that he's made. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars, the moon, the sun, the things that God has made. God may be known by creation. So men are without excuse. Over in Romans 1, it says, when they knew God, by observing what God made, they glorified Him not as God, but they worshiped creeping things and snakes and all manner of evil things. That's the Gentile nation. But they got it. They had a call, the call of nature. And then there's the call of conscience. It says in Romans 2:15, the work of God is written in every man's heart, the work of the law, their conscience bearing them witness, accusing them or excusing them. Every man's got a conscience. What is that conscience? It's the law of God written on his heart. He knows wrong is wrong and right is right. He knows it inside. That's a call. And then there's the call of the Word of God. People are listening to me preach right now who will not receive it. People are listening who will receive it. But Israel heard the gospel back in the wilderness, back in the 40 years of wandering. The gospel was preached to them. That's what Paul said in Hebrews. The gospel was preached to them, but the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. So there's a call of nature. God is known by what He's made. Call of conscience, the law of God written in the heart. That's a call. And there's the call of the preaching of the word, and there's the call of providence, judgment, things that happen. Amos said this. Amos talked to these people. He's speaking for God and about his works of judgment and providence. He says to them in Amos 4, verse 6, I've sent famine among you. I've withheld the rain when it was just a few months to the harvest. But you didn't repent. You didn't return to me. That didn't have any effect on you. He said, I sent disease, verse 9, and pestilence among you. And your people died, but you still didn't repent. You didn't return to me. I sent wars and killed your young men, and still you didn't return to me. Now, therefore, in verse 10, he says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. God hath not left himself without a witness. All men have some light and a general call. So many are called. Few are chosen. Now watch this. Here's the effectual call. By His Holy Spirit, by His Holy Word, which comes to all whom He foreknew and all whom He predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, here's that effectual call. Christ said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. My voice. And there be one fold and one shepherd. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, you see your calling, brethren, your calling. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Those whom the world calls foolish. They're not foolish. God's people aren't foolish, but the world calls them foolish. The things which are despised by the world, the things which are not, hath God chosen. God's calling confirms His choosing. You see your calling. All right. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Listen here. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. What is election? He foreknew them. He predestinated them to be like His Son, and He called them. And Paul says, you know, brethren, your election of God, because Our gospel came not to you in word only. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. It came in much assurance. It came in conviction. You didn't just hear the voice of a man. You heard God, the Holy Spirit, speak through His Word. You were born of the Word and of the Spirit. Any person who's born again, always there's present the Spirit of God who quickens, the Spirit of God who begets, the Spirit of God who gives life, and the Word of God which is the seed. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. Our gospel came to you in power, in much assurance, and in the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. Let me read that 28 again, verse 28. Listen, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. I said He knew them before they knew Him. He loved them before they loved Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Secondly, He predestinated, predetermined that they're going to be like Christ. Christ is going to have a people in heaven like Himself. They're going to love what He loves, enjoy what He enjoys, rejoice what He rejoices in. They're going to be just like Christ, joint heirs with Christ. Those whom He foreknew, those whom He predestinated, He called by His Spirit. He called by His gospel, powerfully, effectually. What's effectual mean? Gets the job done. That's what he said in 2 Thessalonians 2. Listen to this. Paul said, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the Word. That's how you're called. Sanctified by the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. There's got to be the preaching of the gospel. If sinners are saved, there's got to be the preaching of the gospel. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, what's the fourth thing? What is election? Those whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be like Christ one of these days. Receive and be like Him. And He called them, taught of God. And then He said, whom He also justified. Justified. Cleansed them, washed them, purified them, made them holy, put away their guilt. Job asked this question. Job 25. Job said, how can a man be justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Behold, even the moon, it shines not. The stars are not pure in God's sight. How much more abominable and filthy and less pure is a man that is a worm and drinks iniquity like the water? How can we be justified before God? Well, how can God be just and justify us? Well, our Lord answers these questions in Romans 3. I want you, if you're not going to turn to it, write this scripture down, read it later. But in Romans 3, verse 24, this is what it says. We are justified freely by His grace. We're not justified by works. We're justified freely by His grace. We're justified, secondly, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He represented us before the law and obeyed it perfectly. He took our sins in His body on the tree and paid for them. Washed us in His own blood. We're justified through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the next verse? Whom God set forth. God sent Him. God anointed Him. God ordained Him. God set Him forth to be our Savior. The angel said to Joseph, call His name Jesus. He saved His people from their sins. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Call His name Emmanuel, God with us. He sent Him to. He set Him forth. God set him forth way back yonder in promise. He promised in the Garden of Eden that the seed of woman would bruise the serpent's head. He promised him to Abraham, promised him to Moses, promised him, prophesied, pictured him all through the Old Testament. You see pictures of Christ. The Passover lamb is a picture of Christ. The high priest going into the Holy of Holies with the blood atonement is a picture of Christ. The brazen serpent lifted up is a picture of Christ. God sent him forth through all the Old Testament scriptures in picture, in prophecy, in promise, in pattern, in type. Then one day, he set him forth on this earth in person. In person. Unto you, the angel said to the shepherd, unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, Christ the Lord. Ah, he came. He, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was made, was with God. The Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, God, set Him forth. Set Him forth in person. And then on the cross, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Then God set Him forth, risen from the grave. He said, because I live, you live. Then God set him forth ascending up on high, and he seated him at his right hand till his enemies be made his footstool. Oh, my, my. And then Paul asked this question, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God who justifies. He justified us. Salvation is of the Lord. What did David mean when he wrote that in Psalm 37? Psalm 37, 39, David wrote, salvation, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He meant exactly what Paul has written here. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. Justified him perfectly, perfectly holy. Washed him, cleansed him in the blood. Now what's the next thing? And whom he justified, he glorified. Everybody whom he knew and predetermined to be like his Son, and whom he called effectually, on purpose, by his Spirit, by his Word, by his Gospel, and justified him by his blood, he's going to glorify them. That's exactly right. They're going to be in heaven, every one of them. Not a one going to be missing. And there's only one song in heaven. You know what that song is? Unto him. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings from the dunghill to the throne and priests of God to offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and worship and thanksgiving and priest unto God his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Unto him who loved us and washed us and justified us and called us, and saved us, and glorified us. Now, there may be people on this earth, religious folks, who boast of what they've done for God. There may be. I'm sure there are who boast of what they've done for God. But that's not the song in heaven. The song in heaven is what He did for us, not what we did for Him. There may be folks on this earth who feel like they're due some praise and some credit for their teaching or preaching or giving or their works, but not in glory. Your works might look pretty good down here, but they won't look too good before God. Not compared to Christ's perfect work, perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, perfect love. Nobody there is talking about what they've done. They're talking about what He did. He washed us. He redeemed us. There may be folks here who feel like they deserve a reward, that they deserve a crown, that they deserve some special attention up there for what they did down here. But nobody up there feels that way. From first to last, from the last to the first, every one of them is saying, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own precious blood. Here's some more comments from David. David wrote in Psalm 3, salvation belongs to God. In Psalm 37, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. In Psalm 62, my soul, wait thou upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Oh, my friends, everything and all things in eternity, in time, past, present, and future, all things in heaven and earth, all things pleasant and unpleasant, all things in life and death, work together for good, for the glorification, for the salvation of those who are called according to His purpose, who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Now, I want to close with this. In those next verses, Romans 8, 31 through 39, Paul declares the foundation and ground of our assurance, who believe Him, who love Him, and who are called by His grace. Here's five questions. Listen. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for me in election, calling, justification, who can be against me? Secondly, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for our sins, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? The next verse. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Are they not chargeable? Oh, yeah. Do they not charge themselves? Oh, yeah. Does not Satan charge them? Oh, yeah. But God doesn't. God is justified. We're justified in Christ. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. We can't be condemned if Christ died for us. Payment. God's justice cannot twice demand. First at the bleeding surety's hand, then again at mine. We're justified. Who can condemn us? Christ died. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. And he prays for us. And then he asks this question. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from that everlasting, eternal love of Jesus Christ? He loved me. He will not let you go if He loves you. You love Him, and you're called according to His purpose. Calling and election. You want this tape? On the other side is a message I'll preach next week on this subject, the joy of giving. You want these two messages, send $2. We'll mail them to you. Until next week, God bless you.